Welcome to the Mind Over Matter podcast with Heather Hakes, where mindset is everything. Thank you for joining me for today's podcast. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe and leave me a review. This podcast is designed to help open your awareness to the truth of who you are, a limitless being. You are worthy and deserving of an abundant and prosperous life. It's time to peel back the false beliefs and live the life you dream about. For additional resources or to contact me directly, please visit my website, heatherhakes.com. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to episode number 504. In today's podcast, my guest is sharing with you how she had a complete life transformation and mindset shift after getting hit by a drunk driver at the age of 23. We also discussed the topic of law of vibration, which is something I haven't talked much about. Make sure you listen all the way to the end. Welcome to today's podcast interview. I brought on Danielle Matthews. Danielle, welcome.
Hey, Heather. Thanks for having me.
Please give listeners a little background. Where do you live and what do you do?
I live in Florida. It's not your typical Florida though. I live an hour and a half north of Orlando in the middle of the Ocala National Forest at the Almert Yoga Institute. It's absolutely beautiful. And I work with a health technology. I empower people with the knowledge of what they need to help their bodies heal themselves.
Today, I want to talk about all three aspects, so mind, body, spirit, and as a former science teacher, right?
Degree in biology, okay. But I taught math, interestingly, yeah.
Let's start with the body. Let's talk about the body. I know like Dr. Bruce Lipton talks about the biology of belief, but I would love for you to explain the power of, well, obviously our body, but that mind-body connection.
You know, it's interesting. I think for a long time, I didn't realize that my thoughts were impacting my body and they were impacting my, my emotional state. My emotional state was impacting my physical body. And I think, you know, we kind of just go through life, at least I did, where it was like right going on to the next thing, always going, going, going. You know, I was an athlete. I was a top performer at school. Like I was constantly on. And I never had a moment down to understand like where my physical body was, what was going on with it. And it wasn't until I had a major health issue that I actually stopped and was calm enough, just in a state of being where I could realize the impact that my thoughts were having, that the food I was eating was having, you know, that my emotional state was having on my breath. Like,
pardon the interruption. If this content is resonating with you, please be sure to leave a 5-star review. I want to offer you some additional resources. Visit my website, heatherhakes.com, and sign up for my free video training on how to reprogram your subconscious mind. I also offer one-on-one coaching. I will help you create clarity and a roadmap so you can live the life you dream about. Best part? Everything I teach, you can start implementing right now. To learn more and apply, visit heatherhakes.com. Now, back to regular programming.
There are simple things you can look at, like just right now. How's your breathing? Are you breathing rapid and shallow? Or are you breathing like long and slow? It is an indicator of your emotional state. And it's amazing. So many of us keep ourselves in the fight or flight, like the sympathetic nervous system. It's just on because in society, it's fast paced. You know, we've got all these TikToks and reels thrown at us, like 20 seconds of intense stuff. You've got the news, you've got just life is moving at such a pace. Our bodies were built to handle maybe 60, 90 seconds of stress and being in that fight or flight. And then we're meant to relax, you know, kind of like a cat. Like a cat gets hisses and gets crazy, but then the thing relaxes like 60 seconds later. Humans forget to do that. And when we forget to do that, though, that stress, it's like, you know, rather than the tiger, you know, the proverbial tiger that comes in and you're running from, either killing you or you escape it. It's like we've let it into the room with us and it just sits there lurking in the room. And we have this low level anxiety. We've got this low level stress. And so those emotions go into our physical body. And it's amazing. The underlying cause of most issues is some level of stress and it will manifest in your system where your weakness is. And, you know, for a long time, I held it in my stomach. I always knew that I had too much stress because my stomach would not digest my food correctly. And that's, it was like the trigger for me to wake up and go, oh, we need to be doing something differently. I need to calm down.
Can we talk about the power that like our culture has glorified hustle and grind mentality? You got to make shit happen. Go, go, go. And then like we one up each other. I worked 20 hours. I worked an 80-hour work week, and we've put it up on this pedestal when it's completely unhealthy. So can we talk about the power of the conditioning and programming, and then the choice that we have to say, you know, that's not for me.
It's interesting. Where you grow up impacts you so much. Like my boyfriend is from Cuba, and very different world growing up under communism. And, you know, that striving to perform and be better, like you can't under communism. The whole point is everyone's equal. And so he doesn't have that. And it's really interesting for me. I see my programming through him. He's a beautiful mirror because, you know, I'm going, and he's like, why? Why are you pushing so hard? What's the point? Like, you're not even happy doing it. What's the point? Like, you need to just be happy. And it's like, holy cow, the programming is deep here in the US. You know, I would say in a lot of Western societies, it runs deep that we need to push, we need to perform. And I don't necessarily think there's anything wrong with that, but you need to make sure it's in alignment with you and not because society or someone else is telling you to do it. If you are in a lot of action on something that's setting your soul on fire and you love it, great. And you're moving in the direction of your dreams, great. But if you are doing something so that you can compare how much better you are than somebody else or whatever, like you're doing it all wrong. That's your ego. That's not, you're going to get there and you're not going to be fulfilled. You're going to then look for the next thing, and then you're going to get the next thing. Like, how many times have you gotten a goal and you're like, already don't even care. You're like, all right, well, what's next? Like, you're missing the point. You're supposed to be enjoying the journey. You're supposed to be having fun along the way, enjoying the growth, the setbacks, the failures. You know, all of it is meant to be like, that's what life is about. It's a learning journey. And I think we miss that. We forget our soul's purpose. We forget why we came down here to planet Earth and what we're supposed to be doing. We get so caught up in society. And a lot of times it takes a massive challenge. Sometimes it's a divorce. It's a loss of a job. For me, it was a car accident. Like, sometimes it takes a massive thing happening for you to pull out of it and go, whoa. It's kind of like the Matrix, right? Getting pulled out of the Matrix. And it's like, wait a second. Why was I doing all of that? Like, there's more to life.
Yeah. Well, and ultimately what I got from all that is most of us aren't being present. And I found myself in that. I was literally that person, always future tripping. I remember specifically being on vacation, not even being there and thinking about my next vacation. And that was, you know, and then I got all the things that were supposed to make me happy and I wasn't. So it's chasing this always moving target and realizing that's not your purpose and that's not true fulfillment. Can we backtrack a little bit? Can you talk more about emotions? And I don't know if you refer to it as the emotional guidance scale, but what do you refer to it as? And can you talk about the different levels where we find ourselves on the spectrum?
Well, I've always looked at it, like I look at the world as energy. And that's part of my background, you know, with biology, with physics and understanding quantum physics on a different level now, like everything is energy. And the emotions that you hold have energy. I think we all know we walk into a room where somebody is sad or has been yelling, like you feel it. You walk into a room where there's happiness and laughter going on, you feel it. Yeah. And so every single emotion has an energy. And people talk, I think maybe the easiest way to understand this, people talk about the law of attraction all the time and they miss that that's the secondary law. The primary law is the law of vibration. And in our universe, in this world, it states that just like gravity, right? Things are going to go down. The law of vibration says that you attract in things that are the same vibrational match for you. And we've all seen it. We've seen people that their life is just kind of the circle of there's always an emergency, always something going on. There's always a problem. And you're like, how are they oscillating in this space? Well, because that's the energy they're holding. That's the emotional space they're in. That's the vibration that's going out. And so the universe doesn't know right, wrong, good, bad. It knows vibration. It speaks energy. And so it's like you're tugging on a rope, asking for more things to get anxious about, asking for more things to get angry about, asking for more things to be sad about. Like, it's wild when you realize how it works. And then you go, okay, now that I know how it works, I can work with it. Like, once we understood how gravity worked, you know, we learned how to fly. Like, you can work with the laws so that you can, you know, accomplish what you're wanting to. And It's an inside job. Like, you can't look at somebody else to make you happy. You can't look at the world and external events and politics to bring joy to your life. Like, that's not how it works. If you're doing that, you're giving your power away to somebody else. I always say, you've got the external world plus your internal response. That's going to make your reality. And so your internal response is the only thing you can control. So you get to choose. I'm going to be joyful. I'm going to be happy no matter what unfolds. Like, I'm going to be happy. What's next? Maybe it's a plot twist. I didn't expect this. What's going on? Be happy about it. And your world will be happy. Your vibration will be higher. And then you have those people that, like, success breeds success. You watch and it's like always good things unfolding in your life. And you're like, how are they doing it? This, the law of vibration, that's how they're doing it. And it's not easy to, it's simple, but it's not easy to keep yourself in a high vibrational state. And I think as human beings and with the way that our ego works and our mind is, it's natural to fall back down. It's just, how long do you let yourself stay down, you know, and how do you reset yourself? So me, when I get angry, I take a deep breath and then I go out in nature. Like, it's just, I reset my system. If I don't do that, I could stay in anger for a long time. And then it's like, why did I do that? Like, it's poison to my body. It's poison to my life. And so it's not to avoid, like, it's impossible to always be happy. Everybody fluctuates. It's the human condition. It's just, what are you doing to pull yourself back so your vibration can remain in the space you want it to be in to attract what you want?
I shared that exact idea yesterday. Like, I am not immune to this. I go up and down. I'm a, you know, spiritual being having a human experience with emotional highs and lows. However, because I'm very conscious and deliberate and intentional, I have all these tools in my tool belt so that when I fall off, maybe it's moments, maybe it's an hour, but it's not days and weeks. And, you know, then people have moods and temperaments. Can we go back a little bit? Because I'd love for you to talk about the idea of law of vibration. I believe people have karma wrong. I believe karma is simply a boomerang. Whatever you're putting out via your thoughts and feelings, you simply get back. Karma is not, oh, they did something bad, they're going to get shit on later. No, karma just is. Is that how you interpret it?
It's how I see it as well. It's your own karma. Like, all you can worry about is your own. Like, what are you putting out in the world? Yeah. And exactly, like, that is what will attract back to you. And just because, you know, you opened one window doesn't mean it's going to come back through that window. Like, people, they have this expectation, like, oh, I helped Heather, so now Heather's going to help me. No, I helped Heather because it was the right thing to do. And I always help where I'm needed. Yeah. And then down the road, at some point, I'm going to need help. And someone's just going to help me because Danielle needed help. That was the exchange. You know, and so it's like, you're not looking for a tit for tat. You're just going, look, this is the vibration I hold. I serve the people in front of me. I'm always present. I'm doing what's best for them. And then that's what's going to be for you. Like, people will be present with you. They're going to do what's best for you. Like, that's just how it works. So I'm with you. The way I understand karma and live it in my own, you know, life is that way too.
This is very timely. And that's why I love how the universe has all these synchronicities and serendipities. Literally this morning, I read in a Facebook group, somebody posted, and this is why I would love to hear your perspective on how you get out of what I call autopilot, right? Living life by default, that victim mentality, going through life's motions and the victim, things are happening to me. So this person wrote, my business has been financially unstable for years. I'm feeling frustrated, hopeless, impatient. I'm doing the meditations. They're not working. And so my comment was, stop telling that narrative. You named frustration, hopeless, impatience. Those are the emotions to overcome. And then it's like, tell the new story, right? What do you want? Because wherever you focus on expands. So I'd love to hear your feedback.
Well, I love what you said. Sometimes people are ready to hear that and sometimes they're not. The way that I look at the victim mentality, this was a big lesson in my life and I can share through stories. So I was hit by a drunk driver when I was 23. And in that accident, I suffered a brain injury, which pulled me from life. I could no longer work, which meant I couldn't earn an income. I couldn't live by myself. I ended up moving back with my parents and having to focus on getting well. Now, the medical community had no answers. They said it might clear up in a month, then it was three, then it was six. And at my 1 year, I was told by my neurologist it was my new normal. And that entire time, for that entire year, I had been in the victim mentality. And I think most people felt it was justified. And many of you listening would probably say, yeah, well, you were a victim. You didn't do anything wrong. No, I didn't. But I felt angry. I felt resentment. I felt frustration. That was how I was reacting with this. I felt like, why did this happen to me? I didn't deserve this. Like, I'm better than this. Like, it should have happened to somebody else, not Danielle. She's never done anything wrong or hurt anybody else. Why? Oh, why me? Why did it happen to me? And the result of that, remember I said external world, internal response equals your reality. So my internal response was that. And so my world was one where I was depressed, I was angry, and I had severe anxiety. I was literally having panic attacks almost daily because I didn't know what my future was going to look like. I was depressed because it felt like the person that I knew had honestly died. Like, there was no going back to her. And so who was I? It was terrible. Like, that being in the victim mentality was miserable. And I literally, like, it got to the point where I said to myself, like, this isn't a life worth living. And if I'm going to stay on this earth, I need to switch something because I can't be in this emotional state. And so for me, it literally felt like a life or death decision to go, all right, how do I get out of this mentality? Because it's not helpful. As right as it might be, it's not like I'm justifying the guy driving drunk or I'm okay or condoning that behavior or I'm okay with my injury. But it was like, all right, there's new rules on life. How can I find happiness within them? How can I shift my internal response to this? And I started to look for things to be grateful for. It forced me into the present moment. And when I didn't think about the past and I didn't worry about the future and I was in the present, I found happiness. It was like, there are beautiful flowers outside, like an incredible sunset. I was eating delicious food. I was getting to spend time with my grandparents. Like, I was walking dogs, which I love dogs. And it was like, all of a sudden, there was plenty to be happy about. And so my reality changed. My emotional state shifted. My world started to change. And I ended up attracting in the answer to my physical health problems. But more than anything, I realized all of those things that occurred happened for me to learn this lesson, for me to realize I'm the master of this ship. I get to decide how I'm going to interact and react to things. And once you have that realization, you realize that's the key to life. So yeah. It doesn't matter what life throws at you, you're stable, like you're fine. And then you start to see that when you start dictating your inner world and your inner environment, you start to be able to attract in what you need. Again, it's like you're tugging on that rope and it just gets pulled towards you and you create your reality. And that's everything. Like, people don't realize the potential in them. They don't realize they're the creators. They're like playing a role in somebody else's movie, not realizing like, hey, you're actually the star of the show. You know? Yeah. You get to decide what's going on here. And until you go through something that wakes you up to that, you're stuck in this space. Like that woman that you shared, like, she's stuck in this space and you got to feel, I just have compassion for people now. You know, there's no judgment on someone like that. I have such compassion because I'm like, oh, she doesn't get it yet. You know, she doesn't get it yet. And life is going to continue serving her challenges. And she's going to continue to have a hard time until she wakes up, until she realizes, oh, I had the power all along. Oh, the answer was inside me. Silly me. I was looking outside. I was looking to the world to make things right. I was not looking in the mirror. I was not looking at myself. And that's the lesson. And, you know, whatever obstacle or challenge that's happening, guys, it's happening for you because you're supposed to be waking up to something else.
Girl, you speak my language. I'm like, shout it from a rooftop. Ultimately, what I heard from you is like, it's, and I know you're into Bob Proctor, but it's a shift in perception. It's a paradigm shift going from, okay, I love Abraham Hicks, right? And it's that self-compassion, self-love, but it's like, okay, I created this shit storm. What else could I create? What could I create instead? And I just want to share, you know, how I got started with this is I remember watching The Secret. The first time I watched it, I was like, this is such BS. This is like ridiculous. And then I got out of my own way and I live from a state of curiosity. So I watched it again. And this was back like 06, 07. I watched it again. And then I was like, all right, I'm willing to experiment. I like trying new things. I like adventure. So I remember doing the whole parking spot thing. So now I've been doing that. I don't know what the math is. All these years, and people who ride with me, they're like, how do you do that? I expect it. Like, even on here in Denver, you know, Rockies opening day, St. Patty's, if there's big things downtown, I know I'm going to get a prime parking spot. And nobody believes it. And then they ride with me and they're like, dang. But also it's like, whatever we think about, we bring about. So I remember dating this guy and he always joked about, and then I found $5. And I was out walking my dog one day and there was a $5 bill laying in the grass next to the fence. And I was like, this is so fun. So for somebody new to this, I offer like, go try these things. So what would you offer to somebody that are like, all right, I'm dissatisfied in life and my mental health, my physical health, my relationships, my finances, business, career, whatever major life bucket, you're not happy. And I think most people aren't. That's what I see come across the board. What do you offer them to get started in this work, to wake up to their potential, to live life like this is our playground where we can literally have, be, do anything we want?
Start with little things. You know, what you shared are probably the best things to start with. And when you, like, I had a friend of mine that said, manifest a green frog. And I was like, what? And he goes, just do something silly. Manifest a green frog. And I like laughed about it and I didn't do anything about it for months. And then it kept like being in my head, like, oh, green frog, a green frog. And then I kid you not, one day I opened my trunk and a green frog popped out of my trunk. And it's like, okay, I get it. And I think sometimes we miss it, or we think, oh, it's just a coincidence. Oh, that couldn't really be, because it's not like someone has a sign that says, here's what you asked for. You have to see the beauty of it. You have to see, oh, interesting. Like, I was just at an event and I heard, Anita Morjani talking, and she worked a lot with Wayne Dyer before he passed away. And she was sharing this incredible story about how Wayne had gotten her to go to Mile High Church, which is not far from you. And she was going to be speaking there. And he passed away between when that had been coordinated and the connection was there and when she arrived. And so when she got there, she got to the hotel and she walked into the room and it looked like somebody, like it looked like the maids hadn't cleaned it. Like the bed sheets were all over the place, towels on the floor. And so she called down and she said, you know, what's going on? And they apologized profusely. They're like, we don't know what happened. It says it was cleaned. And she waited. And then the manager came over and said, hey, we actually have upgraded you to a suite. And so she got this beautiful suite that overlooked Denver. The next morning, the woman that was driving her to Mile High that used to drive Wayne Dyer every day, she started recounting this story to her. And the girl looked at her and said, that suite is where Wayne stayed every single time he came. Ooh. And she went, that's it. Like these are these things that, you know, unexplained, unexpected. How did that happen? Someone might say it was a coincidence. Others would say, you know, that was kind of orchestrated in that way for a reason.
Yeah, divine. Well, you know what else? This is what I call building the mindset muscle. Because if you start small and it's like, whoa, if I can create that, what else can I create? And then I think ultimately it comes down to you have to detach from the outcome. The how and the timing is not your job. But can we talk about the RAS, the reticular activating system, and how I first understood this was, as an example, I understand it to be, it's like the filter. So whatever we're focused on, our thoughts and beliefs, it filters that to give us more of it, right? Whatever we're focused on. Yeah. So I first experienced this years ago. I got T-boned on Loveland Pass. So my car got totaled. And so I was in the market for a new car. At the time, I decided I wanted a Trailblazer. And then because I had focus on Trailblazer, I'm not kidding you, I was like, they're everywhere. Well, here's the thing. They were always everywhere. But now that I'm focused on them, I'm seeing them. So can you explain kind of the biology and the neuroscience behind the RAS?
Well, the brain is incredible. And yeah. I, having gone through a brain injury and my brain not being able to like take in information and kind of siphon it out, like I experienced the world where I heard everything at the same level, light all came in at the same level. It was so overwhelming. Like I was in a dark room with blackout fabric because I couldn't handle it. So the brain is constantly taking things in, and the reticular activator system is the program that says, this is important, go to the conscious mind. This is not important, push it over here. And our thoughts dictate what the reticular activating system says, yes, let this in, or no, don't let this in. And the same thing, I have a Jeep and I see Jeeps everywhere now because I spent a lot of time looking up Jeeps and wanting to know about them. And now I see them everywhere. And you could do it, play the game with anything. But when people understand this system, it's working for you and it's also working against you. Because if you have limiting beliefs, something that I talk about often is like a chronic health issue. So I was told by doctors, this is your new normal. There's nothing we can do with your brain injury. If I had accepted that as truth, my reticular activating system would have literally siphoned off anything that could have been a potential solution, because the thought was, no, it's chronic. There's nothing you can do. So therefore, none of this is relevant because there's nothing you can do. And I had the reaction of, you're fired. That's not going to be my life. I'm going to get my health back. And so I was constantly open and my system was constantly taking in. Oh, could it be this? Oh, could it be this? Oh, could it be this? And I kept exploring. And I see so many times people who have been told by their doctors, you have a chronic issue. This is just part of aging. There's nothing that can be done. So even when the solution is literally, and I hold a solution and it's right in front of their face, they can't see it because the brain has said impossible, not for us, you know, and it's just kind of pushed it away. So be mindful of it. Now that you know, it's kind of like the law of vibration. Well, now that you know this is how it works, make it work for you. Yes. And stop letting it dictate your life and run things in a way that's not helpful.
You know what quote I love is, don't let others' limitations limit you.
Yeah.
And I kind of have that mentality. If you tell me I can't or that's impossible, I'm like, I'll show you, you know? And not in an egotistical way. It's more like, I'm happy to take on the challenge just to prove it's possible. Something that I know you shared with me that you're big on is like the whole idea of self-empowerment. Empowering mind, body, spirit. I know you have a yoga background. Can you talk more about that? And if you could share some daily rituals.
Absolutely. I fell into learning about yoga nidra in an interesting way and learning about yogic philosophy. When I had my brain injury, one of the things that I found I could do was meditate, and I could go into a dark room and I could listen to someone walk me through meditation. And at the time, my mom was really good friends with a woman, her name's Kamini Desai. And she was writing a book on yoga nidra and meditation, and she needed help with the science behind it. So this was like perfect job for Danielle, because I love science, I love the research, and I was really enjoying meditation, you know, this merger of science and spirituality. And when we finished the book, I was fascinated by what the science was showing, the power of meditation and what I was experiencing in my life. And she said to me, if you're ever interested, I teach down in Florida and you're welcome. I would gift you the program. And I kind of blew it off and I thought, no, I didn't think I'd be healthy enough ever to do something like that. And I was just, no. Well, fast forward, I get healthy. I moved to Florida and I called her and she said, Danielle, I'm starting a program in like a week. I am like 2 hours from where you're moving. You're meant to be here. We'll find a spot for you. So I went. Turned out I was going to the Amrit Yoga Institute, and her dad was Amrit Desai. Guru Dev is what, you know, his students call him. He had founded Kripalu Institute, and now he'd come down to Florida and founded the Amrit Yoga Institute. He was one of the first yogis to come to the US back in the 60s, only living one of that era. He's 90 now. But I sat in this program. In the first 5 days, I thought I was going to learn how to teach somebody to meditate. That's what I thought I was doing. First 5 days was a deep dive into yogic philosophy and helping people to understand that you're more than your mind, you are more than your thoughts, and to get you into a space where you can experience that, that's the tool that meditation was designed for. Like literally the tool, it's a tool. When you learn how to use it properly, you can use it to help with that self-discovery process to understand the power of who you are. And so, you know, meditation became such an integral part of my life. I do it daily. I was doing yoga nidras probably like twice a day. I mean, so much was moving through my body because when you get into the meditative state, the way the yogis describe it, they say we burn up our life force, our energy in our minds because we're thinking all the time. What happened? What's going to happen? We're just all the time. And the life force gets used up there. When you get into meditation and you quiet the mind, now that life force can move through the body and it can get rid of energy blocks. And I mean, there would be moments where like my body would literally lift off of the mat because I had so much stored and pushed down emotion that when I finally, I mean, this is after like a year of doing yoga nidra and lying down to do it, like things would start coming up and out of me. And it was amazing to see the power of the body when it's able to do what this beautiful body is designed to do. And when we get out of the way and let it run itself. So one of my rituals for sure, every day is meditation. I get out in nature. So I have a dog and we walk, ride a bike, go for a swim. Like we do something out in nature every single morning, because for me, that's when you can connect in. And it reminds me how interconnected everything is and that I am part of this whole. And it just resets my energy. And anytime throughout the day, if I get a little off, I go out into nature. It's like, oh yeah, the reminder.
I have found in living in Colorado, I love the mountains and I love traveling to the beach. And, you know, years ago, I was taught about the power of grounding in nature. And I believe the reason we are pulled into nature is because nature is not struggling. Nature is in at peace, ease, stillness, quiet, surrender, which I believe is like our natural state. So when we're pulled to the mountains, a lot of people in Colorado ski and snowboard, hike. It's like that. And even I, at the top of the hike, you know, I think it's a great metaphor for life. We're on this journey. It is hard. You have to stop and breathe and whatever. But when you get to the top and you take it all in and that moment of presence and the views, it's like, oh, that was so worth it. But we don't have to go into nature to do that. You could do this meditation and breath work on a plane, not driving a car. But, you know, like we can create this inner peace and stillness anytime. What are some other practices you could offer for people who maybe are driving and have road rage or just got an email that threw them off? What could they do at work? Like what can we do to create mindfulness practices daily?
It's your breath. I think the easiest thing is your breath. And the most simple breathing technique I've ever learned is just inhaling through the nose, exhaling through the mouth, making sure the exhale is longer. And so I breathe in for 3, I breathe out for 5, but do it at whatever, you know, pace and speed feels comfortable for you. That it literally resets your nervous system and it allows your body to get out of the stress state, come back into the sympathetic. And then you can think when you're in a stress state, your brain shifts and where the energy in your brain is going. And, you know, when you're in fear, you think differently than when you're in a space of calm. And when your body is relaxed, that's when source, that's when your intuition can speak to you and you'll hear it. So I always just, whether I'm in the car or I get an email that I'm like, what the, or a text message, I just breathe. I literally stop. I catch myself. I go, okay, inhale, exhale. What am I meant to do with this? And that's the simplest thing I can give anybody to do. And you can do it right now.
Something else I'd love to ask you that if you could share with the listeners is, can you share the difference between where you were, that dark space told this is going to be your life, to doing the inner work and where you are today? Can you share that kind of night and day difference?
Yeah, well, it wasn't like overnight. It has been a journey. And I don't think that inner work ever stops. I mean, I know that our souls are here for the learning experience. So I now embrace the learning. I embrace the struggles. I embrace all the stuff that life is, you know, has thrown at me. But my experience with my car accident, it taught me my power. So, you know, when I shifted my vibration, I attracted in a health technology called ASEA Redox. It was something that it allows your cells to communicate. So the body can better hear where there's damage, wherever it is in your body. So it would do something different for you than it does for me because you have damage in a different spot. I drank this and within 3 months, my body started to repair. Something I had been told, impossible, permanent, you know, I'm 2 years out from my accident. And I started to get better, which allowed me to start to hope again. And the more that I drank it, the more that my body improved. And it was just this incredible, like going full circle. You know, some people call it the hero's journey, right? Like coming back to the starting point and going, oh my gosh, I had to go through all of that just to realize the power sitting within me. And then the next phase of my journey was learning that I had a voice, because for a long time in my life, my voice was very quiet and I didn't think I had anything worthy of saying. And so when I got healthy, it was like all of a sudden, oh, I know a secret. I know something that could help every single human being, plant, animal, live a better life, repair from whatever they have going on in a way that couldn't hurt them. And I thought, well, I'm going to bring this breakthrough to the world. And so I started to share, and it was crazy because my body would literally physically shake. Like I'd move to a new place, Florida. I didn't know anybody except the guy I'd moved down there to be with. I was getting out in the community, meeting people, and I'm not extroverted. So I would literally be shaking. I'd have to call a friend before I even drove home because like I physically couldn't. But I knew something within me was like, no, keep doing this. And so I had learned to follow my intuition. I had learned to tap into myself and to stop questioning. Like my mind was constantly like, don't do it, Danielle. Like, stay home, Danielle. You don't need to do that. Why are you getting uncomfortable? Like, you don't have to. You could easily go back to work in this job. All that was going on in my head. Plus, you know, I had other people, family members, friends also chatting away. But I realized I'm the master of my ship. Like I'm going to go with what my heart is saying to do, even though even my mind didn't understand it at the time. And I kept doing that. And I paved a way that I never would have imagined for myself. And I was in a position where I helped other people. And over time I got better. I learned, I grew, I got more confident, but that voice kept getting louder and louder and louder. And, you know, now I find myself 7 years later in a position where I've built an international business. I've helped thousands of people with their health, and it's the ripple effect has gone global. And I sit and I go, wow, like that's because I listened to myself. That's because I stayed in my lane. That's because I didn't worry about the mind chatter. And that's like that journey, you know, it's been 10 years since that accident happened, but it's so present in my mind all of the time because that's like the lesson of life in my eyes. And so now I'm just in this space of like, what do I want to create next? You know, what am I going to unfold next? And to know that the power is in my hands once I get clear. And as of yet, I'm not clear on what the next chapter is going to hold because I've had so much fun doing this one. It's like, you know, I've got a beautiful store and now I want to add a second story. So we'll see what happens on the second story.
You know, and it makes me think I learn a lot of metaphors and like, I love metaphors for life and messages, but ultimately I've found a lot of great teachings through Disney movies.
Oh, and yeah.
For me, like Lion King is a great metaphor for like monkey mind and ego and all that. But ultimately the message he finally got that woke him up was remember who you are. And that's mm-hmm. kind of my own guiding light, like remember who you are and to have fun and yeah, what can I create next? And it's not about the creation. It's just like about the journey and having fun. And anyway, I want to ask you, what do you believe is a key takeaway you want listeners to get?
I would say that life is unfolding for you to learn exactly what you just said, the potential within you, and to remind you of who you are and why you came here.
I love that. All right. I'd love to wrap up the interview. So I have a couple rapid fire questions.
Okay.
What is a quote or motto that you live by?
There's a question that's always in my head, which is what is this challenge making possible?
Interesting. So is that to kind of like open your awareness and okay. Yeah. I love that. Can you say it again?
What is this challenge making possible?
Wow. Okay. That's good. Good mindset shift. What is a book you're currently reading or highly recommend?
The most recently that I just finished, you and I were talking about it before the show, actually it was Michael Singer's Untethered Living or Living Untethered. I forget which way he does the title, but that one is amazing. So much of what we just talked about today is in that book.
Agreed. And he's got three books that I'm aware of, but I love his teachings.
Yeah.
All right. Final question. What advice would you give your younger self?
Oh, you've got it all inside of you. Like that's all I needed to know my whole life. It took me a little while to figure it out. But that's it. You've got it all in you. Stop looking outside.
Such a great note to end on. Danielle, thank you so much for joining me.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Heather.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. I'd love it if you could leave me a review and remember to subscribe and share this episode with your friends. If you haven't yet, connect with me on the social platforms. You can add me on Instagram at heather.hakes and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I'll catch you on the next episode.